So I just basically want to give you guys an update on our work on biocontrol and some of our biocontrol products. I want to make sure you guys understand that this biocontrol exists because of cotton and because the cotton farmers wanted it, and that's why we developed it. This is just me and what some of the early days in cotton fields doing some of our development work. That's the first biocontrol product. Is there a pointer? No?
No pointer.
That's the first biocontrol product.
The mouse.
No, I'm not going to use mouse. And this here is the it's a manufacturing facility run by the Arizona Cotton Research Extension Council. I'd like to point out that one of the authors on the paper, or two of the authors on the paper, are actually our industry partners, Arizona Cotton Research and Protection Council. So you guys know about aflatoxins. This is aflatoxin B1. It's the most potent natural carcinogen known. It causes liver cancer in many parts of the world. It causes severe stunting. It causes immune suppression. So if you're eating aflatoxins, you're exposed to HIV, you have much higher titers than if you don't. And you're exposed to many other things. But for why do we care about with cotton?
Oh, thank you. Cool. You push it.
Plug in.
I got it. Yep. So the reason why I worried about it in cotton is because it's transmitted from feed to milk, and cottonseed is an important feed in dairies. And so dairies, you know, if milk gets contaminated, what happens if milk has over 0.5 parts per billion? They dump it. When you have your dairies in your state come and talk to you and say, hey, Pete, we've lost $3 to $4 million last year dumping milk, you realize that your job is kind of important to them. But it's nowhere near as important there as it is in much of the places we work around the world. I'm going here now.
I'll try this.
I tried that.
Right here.
Ah, okay. Good. So basically when we started developing this in late 80s, early 90s, the Arizona guys, I got this phone call from the head of the Arizona Cotton Growers Association. They said, Pete, we've had a meeting, we decided we want to do it. We want to do it for real. And I go, what do you mean? I'll be there next month, Ron. I can come visit you and we can talk about what field you want to treat. And he goes, no. We voted we want to do the whole state. And so three of the executive board flew out. I was in New Orleans at the time. And they started developing plans on how they actually could produce their own manufacturing facility, which we have, and actually could go through the process. So together, in the public sector, with my cotton farmers and with the National Cotton Council and a lot of other cotton organizations, we went through the process of not just developing the product, not just registering it with the EPA, basically for free, but also developing manufacturing facilities and how to deliver it to the farms at a very inexpensive cost. So basically what we do with biocontrol is natural populations of A flavus are composed of a diversity of A flavus. There's a lot of variability. And one of the ways is variability is in aflatoxin-producing ability. So some isos produce very high levels of toxin, and some produce very moderate levels, and some produce none at all. These are not blanks here. These are isots that do not produce aflatoxins. We call them atoxigenic strains. They're the basis of our biocontrol. Also, naturally in fields vary in the average aflatoxin-producing potential of the fungi resident in those fields. So here in this pink field, most of the isots produce very high levels. This is a log scale, so this is 10, 100,000, 10,000, etc. And this is the percent of isots that produce a given level of toxin within the field. And you can see that the pink field has a lot of isots that make really high levels of aflatoxin. And we thought, wow, so crops that are grown in pink field are much more vulnerable to contamination than those grown in the yellow field. And we thought, well, can we change this pink field to be more like the yellow field? And then while we're at it, can we move these high toxin producers in the yellow field this way so that you reduce the average aflatoxin-producing potential of the fungi in the field? And indeed, that's what this biocontrol does. And it does it not just in the field, not just that year, but it has residual activities across years, so you get added benefits year after year, and it works throughout the entire region. So even your neighbor who you hate and you think is an SOB, you're benefiting him if you treat. So if you really hate your neighbors, you shouldn't be using the biocontrol. So basically what we do is we take these atoxigenics, and whenever we grow cotton under conditions conducive to contamination, as the crop biomass increases, so does the quantity of Aspergillus flavus in the environment and in the soil. And we apply early before this big increase occurs, and our atoxigenic strains distribute to the crop, and they multiply in the crop, and they displace the aflatoxin producers during this increase. The end result is you don't have any more fungus on the crop than if you did not treat. You don't have any more of the crop infected than if you did not treat. The difference is that the fungi associated with the crop don't produce aflatoxins. And the end result is that you have much less aflatoxins contaminating the crop. So basically, as you increase the incidence of these atoxigenic strains, you decrease the quantity of aflatoxins in the crop. And these influences are dramatic. You get 80, 90% displacement with a single application of 10 pounds per acre early in the season. And then it carries over. So this is the first three commercial fields we treated in 1996. This is the incidence of the atoxigenic strain we were using then. It's AF36. It's still one of the registered strains. It's one that we make still in Phoenix. And here are the three farmers. Each of them had a different 40-acre block that was treated. And this is the incidence of AF36. We do this stuff all over the world in like 30 or 40 countries. We always only use strains that are native to the country in which we're working, that are adapted to the agro-ecosystem in which we're coming in, and that are already common. And that avoids a lot of the ecological issues. So AF36 is the most common fungus in a lot of the crops that we work on in a lot of portions of the U.S., particularly in cotton in Arizona, in corn and cotton in Texas, in pistachios as the tree crops in California. And then you see that, so this is just before treatment. These pink bars are a year after treatment. So that you would go back an entire year later and look in the field, and look at that. You've got this huge incidence of the atoxigenic strain, and you've gotten rid of a lot of the toxin producers. And then on that, you build the next year. So you actually get these added benefits, and it actually spreads throughout the field. You'll see that these adjacent, these are sheep fields that share a border, and you can see there's a significant increase. The green star bars are statistically significant. And even fields that only share a corner, most of them also have a significant increase in the frequency of the atoxigenic strain. So you're basically influencing the entire region, all the fungi you breathe. You know, these spores of Aspergillus flavus, the toxin producers, contain tens of thousands of parts per billion. This is a toxin that your government regulates at 0.5 parts per billion, okay, in the milk that you're drinking. And you're breathing spores of tens of thousands of parts per billion. When the growers know this, I have farmers that treat around the houses and nowhere else because they say, well, it's not economic, people. I don't want to be breathing that crap. So here's another example of what happens with this carryover and how you get additive benefits. This is the soil before treatment. This is the S strain that we described like 30 years ago. It produces very, very high levels of aflatoxin. It's the primary causal agent in many portions of the world. And AF36 was native to these areas, but just in these fields we didn't detect it, the amount of samples we ran. Basically, in these areas, it occurs 1 to 2% naturally. This is after a single application. A farmer did a great job. They got very high levels of displacement. Then I begged them not to treat the next year. They resisted it, but they went ahead and do it. And this is actually an area just north of here. This is Grayson. I went over and visited these guys a couple days ago. And then on their crop the next year without treatment, so this is 2 years later, without treatment, they still had this great displacement. And the toxin producers begin to come back, but they still had much lower toxin than they would have before they treated. And they got into their primary market. Their primary market was 100 parts per billion. So even this occurs, you end up building up this change of atoxigenic strains throughout the environment. This is a field that did not get treated in Waxahachie. This is a 200-acre field. We took 10 corn samples out of this field. And these are the two biocontrols that are registered, Afligard, sold by Syngenta, and AF36, distributed by the Arizona Cotton Research and Protection Council. And as you can see, there's very high incidences of both of them in the field. Even though this guy didn't treat, his neighbors did, and stuff got carried over from previous years. And so you get some residual activity and some residual protection, and you're influencing neighboring fields. And I want you to remember this as you're talking to farmers. This is not a corn farmer and a cotton farmer. These are corn and cotton farmers. Some places cotton's really having a real problem with aflatoxins. They're losing markets, and we can really have a big impact if you understand what we're doing. And you can do some very inexpensive treatments to cotton where you can actually not treat the whole field. They don't think it's worth it. And just do perimeter treatments or strip treatments and have a big impact that protects the corn. In Arizona, we're worried about protecting all of our silage. In parts of California, we're worried about our tree crops. So you can help with the area-wide management program just as long as you guys as pathologists understand what we're doing and act positively to help them understand what they can do. And so here's an example where we just did strip treatments. We just treated this one field along this one edge here and here, even though this is three fields. And then we sampled across. And you can see you get okay displacement even on that edge, and it even carries all the way across the field. So if you're actually doing an aflatoxin management program, you have a farmer who's worried about his silage or he's worried about his corn, then you can tell him, well, look, why don't we just do this edge? And there's some very inexpensive ways to do this. You can put out a little more material. This is ACRPC's a sprayer that they blow stuff across the field. Our pistachio growers, this is actually a conveyor belt. They go down the row and just dribble it along the drip line. There's a lot of things. I like to work with the farmers, say what they like, what they think is going to work. I tell them what I think will work, what won't work. We try what they want. Next year we evaluate, try to move forward in the direction that's good. So there's a lot of ways you can do this very inexpensively, not cost your farmers a lot of money, save the markets, not let this burden of aflatoxin on their cottonseed or on their corn be there and make it difficult for them to market into different places, and actually end up saving the entire community its markets and its profitability. These are just, I'm just trying to go very fast. These are some of the products that are registered around the world. Basically, most of the products look like this now. We have AF36 and AF36 Prevail, which were the first two registered. Aflagard by Syngenta. You have AflaSafe, which is registered in three nations. AflaSafe is four strains each, and they're registered currently for Senegal and Gambia, Kenya and Nigeria. There's manufacturing plants in some of these places, and we're building more. And then AFX1 is in Italy. It's only EU product so far, and for sure is one that's going forward with Texas. And this gives you a picture around the world. We really work a lot of countries on Illustrate. I just did this for a talk in China. And I just want to tell you that these green are where the full registrations are in Italy. And that's a manufacturing plant. It's now almost ready to open up. This one's manufacturing 3 tons an hour. Here's the ACRPC. This is an old version of the facility. We hope ACRPC will be producing a new facility in the next year or so. So just very quickly, my take-home story is these biocontrol fungi move from treated fields across areas. You influence everything. It's got health benefits. It's got market benefits. But also, the farmers, you shouldn't confuse them. You should make sure they understand what they're doing. They're modifying the fungal population. This is not a fungicide. This is not a pesticide. This is something where you're actually encouraging the proper fungi to be in the field. It's really more like weed control than it's like what we normally do for controlling plant pathogens. These atoxinics persist very, very well in soils, crop debris, non-host crops. You know, mesquite can become highly contaminated. A lot of other crops can become highly contaminated. They'll protect you there as well. And multiple crops benefit. Most of the products in Africa are targeted at both corn and peanuts. The primary exposure to the population is with maize, where they eat 50, 60% of their calories from maize. But really, groundnuts are very important. Peanuts are a very important energy crop that helps them survive. So so that's very important as well. So you can improve the efficacy of these aerated programs if you just think ahead. You understand as pathologists what you're doing. And you tell the grower, hey, you can treat a little bit of that corn there as well. Or if you're flying over this field and you've got your cotton here and you've got your corn here, why not do a swath where you get both crops and give us a better bang for how we're doing our area-wide management? Because otherwise, that cotton's going to be growing highly toxigenic fungi, and that's going to be blowing into your other crops. So why lose the benefit you're getting? Especially if you're in an area that has a really, you know, you're in San Pat Caddy or somewhere where you've got a lot of cotton, and you're also trying to produce corn. Why not let these small treatments of corn, the cotton that are very inexpensive, benefit you? And just that's one of the iterations of my lab, and these are a lot of our partners. And across Africa, IITA has been our partner, but we have a lot of partners. And really, the reason why we can survive overseas is USAID.